So thank you, Sarah. Today I'm going to be talking about developing uniform newborn screening case definitions for surveillance purposes. What I'll do is I'll begin with an overview of newborn screening and then talk about the IT implications, and then I'll give you some examples of what we've worked on. I have no financial relationships to disclose. Some background on newborn screening. Newborn screening is one of the most successful public health programs in the U.S. These programs test babies for very rare disorders. Newborn screening programs test babies for very rare disorders that are not apparent at birth. If these disorders are not detected and treated soon after birth, they may cause disabilities, severe illness, or premature death. More than 4 million newborns are screened annually in the U.S., and thousands of these infants are rescued from disability and death. The newborn screening process begins within 24 to 48 hours of a child's birth, when a few drops of blood are obtained from a heel prick. The blood spots are sent to a laboratory that is usually part of a state or territory public health department. And this is sort of important to note. Each newborn screening diagnosis is confirmed in a manner determined appropriate by the state consultants and clinicians. So as you can imagine, there are various tests and lab techniques to diagnose these conditions. There's also a federal advisory committee that reviews and recommends conditions to what we call the recommended uniform screening panel. And currently we have about 31 heritable disorders on that list. So although there's been a rapid increase in genetic testing and newborn screening, our knowledge on gene expression and phenotypes still remains incomplete. Currently, there are no uniform case definitions, and each state confirms diagnoses differently. Without uniformity, true prevalence and incidence of these rare disorders are unknown. We don't know what the outcomes are, or we can't compare the outcomes among all the states. So the ultimate goal of this project is to develop uniform surveillance case definitions for these newborn screening conditions detected through the state programs for the purpose of harmonization across programs in order to monitor babies' health outcomes throughout the lifespan. The majority of these conditions are chronic and many require lifelong care, and so we expect the case definitions to form the foundation for effective long-term follow-up. State newborn screening programs would do a retrospective review of cases, and they would compare the cases to these established definitions. So for our methods, we had a large group of subspecialty clinicians. We brought together metabolic specialists, immunologists, pulmonologists, and others, and these clinical experts developed consensus statements on the minimal essential elements to diagnose a case after a positive result, and then they also included a minimal criteria for incomplete clinical evaluations. Some of the case definitions included criteria for a definite case or a probable case or an unlikely case. Other definitions used a point system, so it resembles more of a model. We don't intend for these case definitions to dictate diagnostic testing procedures or clinical management. These definitions are solely for surveillance purposes. In a few weeks, we will be disseminating these definitions to some HRSA grantees. There are regional genetic and newborn screening collaboratives. They're located across the U.S., and we're going to get their input on these definitions. And then we will pilot and validate the definitions with various state newborn screening programs, and we'll ask them, what's the feasibility of these definitions' reliability. So for results, we have preliminary case definitions for metabolic conditions, hemoglobinopathies, as well as cystic fibrosis and severe combined immunodeficiency. Upon refinement, all the final definitions will go to that federal advisory committee that I had mentioned earlier for their approval. Now for the IT part. So we have been working very closely with the National Library of Medicine in developing SNOMED CT codes and LOINC codes. SNOMED CT, just in case you don't know what that stands for, is Systemized Nomenclature of Medicine-Clinical Terms, and it systematically organizes computer processable collection of medical terminology that covers clinical information such as diseases. So we've already established SNOMED codes for all of the newborn screening conditions. Now we're working on LOINC codes, and LOINC stands for Logical Observations, Identifiers, Names, and Codes, and it applies a universal code name and identifiers to medical terminology, and the purpose is to assist in the electronic exchange and gathering of clinical results like lab tests, which is part of newborn screening. So what's going to happen is for each specific element of the case definition, LOINC codes will be assigned so that state labs and newborn screening programs can use these codes to electronically report out to relevant parties in order to assess outcomes and surveillance in efficient and effective ways. We don't want the review of these cases to be done on paper. These are just examples of the codes that have already been established. You'll see on the left, we've got the condition name, then the corresponding SNOMED CT code, and then the conditions analyte, as well as the corresponding LOINC code. And then I just wanted to quickly go over three examples of the case definitions that we have worked on. The first one is called the medium-chain acyl-CoA dehydrogenase deficiency, or MCAD. MCAD is a condition in which the body is unable to break down certain fats. And so what happens instead is there's too many unused fatty acids that build up in the body. And if MCAD goes untreated, it can cause brain damage and breathing problems. So after much discussion, our clinical experts agreed that the detection of MCAD relies on elevated levels of specific markers. So they came up with what constitutes a definite case and what would be a probable case. It's important to note here that if a case doesn't meet this criteria, then that doesn't necessarily mean the case is an MCAD. What we can say confidently, though, is that if any case matches one of these definitions, then it's highly likely the case is MCAD and the baby should have received the appropriate follow-up care. So another example is galactosemia. It is another metabolic condition. In which the body is unable to properly digest galactose, which is a sugar found in milk products. If left untreated, it can cause seizures, serious blood infections, liver damage, or even death. Galactosemia was a little bit more difficult to come up with definitions because there's a classic case and then there are variants of the disease. So the experts came up with a three-tier approach. We have a definition for a classic case of galactosemia, then a definite variant case, and then a probable variant case. These experts also created an incomplete category, and most of the definitions have something like this. This category includes an abnormal screen where there was no additional workup or testing that was completed. If a case falls under this category, then that would alert the newborn screening program that a baby, an infant, might have been missed, and so they can quickly take steps to find that infant, get the proper diagnostic testing done for the baby, and then help the baby and the parents get the follow-up care if it's needed. And then my last example is for SCID, severe combined immunodeficiency and related T-cell lymphocyte deficiencies. This is a group of disorders that are characterized by a lack of a functioning immune system. the babies born with SCID appear healthy, but they are extremely vulnerable to infection. SCID leads to death in infancy unless treatment, which is usually a stem cell transplantation, is provided. This group of disorders can occur in a newborn where there is no family history of SCID. The SCID model has five categories, and they used a point system to allow for a mix of data. And it was designed to capture both clinical and laboratory findings and weight findings of severe immune deficiency. These case definitions for SCID will also facilitate research into the underlying molecular defects associated with these types of deficiencies and will help improve the treatment and management of these infants. So in conclusion, we do have draft uniform surveillance case definitions, but they need to be pilot tested. We know that robust surveillance and assessing outcomes confidently and with certainty are critical, as a majority of newborn conditions are chronic and may require lifelong care. Case definitions will facilitate research and public health surveillance, and the definitions will also provide a foundation for tracking and improving treatments and follow-up activities to achieve optimal health, growth, and development for babies identified with very rare conditions. I just wanted to acknowledge all of our subspecialty clinicians. Without them, this project would not be possible. And also, this entire project was based on an idea that Dr. Sarah Copeland had. We're very thankful for her guidance. And also, we've had a lot of support from our sister agencies within HHS, as well as our national partners in the newborn screening world. So we thank them all. So thank you for your time.